Today on The Balanced Word, we begin a journey through the Bible. And Pastor Dave Roth has this view, it is a story.
Stories are an exciting way to see things because it's like observing what God observed and what people observed. It gives us a chance to go back in time and then to be able to live it as if we were there. And so I'm looking forward. The Bible has some of the most amazing stories ever. And since I believe them, I love going through them and looking at them.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hey, do you enjoy a good story? Most of us do. Maybe you can think of someone who is really good at storytelling. Well, God is the master storyteller, and His Word is proof. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe starts a new series of studies that will take us through the Bible. He'll spotlight various stories contained in the Word, and we'll begin with the story of creation in Genesis 1 and 2.
We're beginning our way through the Bible again. We've been through the Bible several times together, but this time we're going to go through the whole Bible. But what we're doing is we're going through and I'm just picking some stories. And so we're going to go through the Bible in stories. Now, most of the Bible is stories. It's narrative. It tells what happened. And that's the way Jesus generally taught. But for us, sometimes we reduce everything to a series of doctrinal positions or something like that. And we lose a lot of the effect of the way that God actually taught. Now, let me explain to you. Don't get tripped up by the word story. Some people, when they hear story, they think it means, oh, it's not true, it's just a story. I'm not saying that at all. Make it very clear. I believe that this whole book was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's true, it's reliable. The word story, actually, until about the 1600s, the word story and the word history were the same word. They come from a French word that comes from a couple of Greek words that mean, one of them means to see, and the other one means to know. And so a story was simply a recitation of what I saw, what I know, what happened. And so that's most of what the Bible does. And so we want to go through, and today we're going to be looking at the story of creation. Really an exciting story, but it's just the account of that God had inspired. Now, the story of creation obviously wasn't written by Adam because he wasn't created till the sixth day. Originally, somehow God revealed this, and the story was passed down. We believe that it was probably written down in this form by Moses as the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to write the Pentateuch, but before that, the story was handed down from generation to generation, no doubt. Now, that may freak you out a little bit. Like, wait a minute, wouldn't there be deterioration if the story was being handed down? But actually, through most of history, that's the way history was recorded. And the truth is, you get a much more accurate telling of a story if it's handed down from multiple sources, you know, triangulating and cross-checking, than you do if it's just written down and it just stays that way. But stories are an exciting way to see things because it's like observing what God observed and what people observed. It gives us a chance to go back in time and then to be able to live it as if we were there. And so I'm looking forward. The Bible has some of the most amazing stories ever. And since I believe them, I love going through them and looking at them. The first story in the Bible is the story of creation. Now, first of all, let me say this. We try to fill in all the gaps. Whenever God tells a story, it seems like it's our desire to deal with what He doesn't say rather than what He does say. So most Bible studies that you've heard in the book of Genesis, involving creation, involve all the things that God doesn't say. Like, when did this happen? It doesn't say. What kind of days were these? How, you know, we have all sorts of questions. What I want to invite you to do is just listen to the story, okay? God says precisely what he wants to say, and God leaves out precisely what he wants to leave out. He knows how to tell a story. And God was the only eyewitness to the creation, and so let's let him tell the story, and let's just hear what he has to say. Now, if it's been a while since you've read Genesis 1 and 2, I would encourage you this week to begin reading through the Bible and just read the first couple chapters. If you want to read through chapter 3, that'll get us to the story next week. But follow through with us and read the Bible, but read it for what it is. It's a story. Story that I believe. So here's the basic story. He starts out in verse 1 and he says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." So that's kind of the title. But what we see unfolding in Genesis chapter 1, it almost seems more like a play or a production or a musical performance. It's, you see God as being the great designer, the great creator, the great storyteller. He is engineering this whole scene. And as he describes it in this first chapter, you just get the feeling that he's going, just shut up and listen to this. See this. Imagine this happening. Stretch yourself a little bit. You may be uncomfortable with the concept, but you know, stick with me. It's just an incredible scene. So he says, here's the thing. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, right away in verse 2, it sets the scenery for this story that's going to unfold. So the curtain comes open, and here's what you see. The earth was without form. That's a word that means it was just really a mess. And it was void. There was an emptiness there. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we look at the stage as God is telling this story. And what we see, first of all, it's hard to see it because it's dark. But it's this confusing, tangled, empty sort of mess with a sense of water. And there's this, the Spirit of God is just kind of hovering. You can almost hear the music start to come up. It's like, spooky music, like, what's going to happen? And then, in the middle of that, God said, light. He actually said, he didn't say, let there be light necessarily, but he said, light be. And the thing lights up. All of a sudden, wow, what a development. You have this dark mass. Now, already you're going, well, what was that dark mass for? He doesn't say. Don't worry about it. It's a dark mass, and now the light turns on. Again, you're going, well, then how did the light come on? The sun wasn't created till day 4. Don't worry about it, okay? It lights up. And God's going, and God is, at this point, the director. He's playing with a fader. And he goes, look, light, and look at this, dark, day, night. And then he goes, okay, day 1, that's it. So it's like, wow, this is interesting. Because a God who's controlling, you see it, then you don't. It's a mess, but now it's a lit up mess. And now it goes back to be dark. And the Spirit of God is hovering, and God is running this whole thing. And God said, this is good. The end of day 1 right there. It's good. So now, the next day, day 2. And it says that in that lit up, kind of tangled mess, God created the atmosphere. He said, firmament or space be. And there's this separation, whereas there was this whole watery kind of mass. Part of it was pushed up. Part of it was pushed down. And there's this area in between where God created space. Nothing else could happen if you don't make some space. It's just you're looking at a mess. And it may be a lit up mess, but it's nothing. But now there's atmosphere or firmament that it says God called heaven. So God created space, and then he said, this is good. Day two, I'm done. So now we come to the next day. We come to day three. And with all of this, God then says, dry. Be dry. And so the bottom part underneath the atmosphere, it was separated. So now the water is pushed aside to one end and the dry land is there. We just require a little shift. Now there's dry land. And out of that dry land begins to grow vegetation. God says, this is good. Day three. That's it. Now, the story really gets wild in day four. Because in day four, it says, God put the sun to rule over the day and the moon to rule over the night. And oh, by the way, he made stars also. It's like, that was a pretty easy way to describe the creation of the whole universe. Now, again, you're going, wait a minute, how could you have days when you don't have a sun and a moon and stars and all that? You know, how could you? Now, in day four, it says he created it for seasons and for day and night and everything. It doesn't say. All it says was, now, for those of you who are really being logically concerned about this, it could be that these things already, he had already created them in verse 1, and now they were just coming into appearance. But it doesn't matter. Day 4, sun, moon, stars, God again says, good. That's good for the fourth day. Day 4, there you go. So the fifth day happens. And now God ends up saying, I got all this land with plants. We have all this water. We have all this space. I'm going to start to decorate. And he creates birds to fly all over the sky, the place close to the earth. And then the sea becomes just teeming with sea life, with all sorts of sea creatures, all sorts of fish. Now the water is alive. Now the sky is alive. And life is really, although we had had vegetation, now life is beginning to happen in the water and in the sky. God looked at that, and he said, that's good. Day 5. Then we have day 6, which is the craziest day of all. More was done in day 6. It's ridiculous what God can get done in a short period of time, at least that he describes as a day. Day 6... decided to make animals. You got all these plants. Somebody could eat them and live off of them. And so he creates land animals in day 6. All kinds of animals, all sorts of speciation, all this development, animals everywhere. And then, the pinnacle of his creation, it says that God made mankind, Adam and Eve. And he placed them there in the earth. And he put them in charge. Now, chapter 2 of Genesis goes into more details about this. And it shows that he created the animals and he gave Adam the job of naming all of them. And Adam starts going, wow, there's Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus, Mr. and Mrs. Elephant, Mr. and there's no Mrs. And God said, okay, yeah, I wanted you to get that. It's not good for you to be alone. And so then he puts Adam to sleep, and he extracts from his side perhaps genetic material in order to create a woman. And now here they're both there, and the wedding happened all on one day. All the animals created, all the animals named. Adam created, he's lonely, Eve's created, and all of that in day 6. But day 6 is the pinnacle because from here on out, the rest of the Bible, the next 48 chapters of Genesis, and all of the chapters of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, for all the way to Revelation, is all about people. So God's not that fascinated by what happened in the first part of creation. He's saying, this now, the spotlight is on man and woman, because they are created in my image. And so as this play unfolds and we come to the conclusion of day six, God says something that he hadn't said before. Every day he had said, that's good. But after day six, he said, that is very good. Like, now we're talking. Now we're getting to something that matters. Now we're getting to the heart of what I intended to do all of this time. And so man's created and given various responsibilities. And then in the beginning of chapter 2, just to close it off with day 7, it says, on the seventh day, God just looked at it. He just relaxed. He kicked back. It wasn't that he was tired and needed to rest. It was that he was done. He had done all that he wanted to do, and now he just, sometimes you just got to stop and look at what you've done. And God's evaluation was, this was really cool. Now that is the creation story. And I hope as you read it yourself, you're able to put yourself in the place and don't worry about what you don't see. Look at what you do see and just appreciate the story that God tells us here in Genesis chapter 1 and on into chapter 2. The rest of the Bible is just going to be more stories. So if you can't see this one's so graphic. I hope you can see it. I hope you can stretch yourself a little bit. If you're having a hard time stretching yourself like that, I'll explain to you in a little bit why that might be the case. So here you have the story of Genesis. And by the creation account, for most of us, now we're full of questions. That's why most times when somebody's going to teach on creation, they're going to go into all this stuff about technicalities and all the things that it doesn't say. And I wonder about them too. I wonder, how in the world did all that stuff happen on day 6? I wonder, were these really 24-hour days? I wonder, how did you have plants growing with photosynthesis before the sun was created? How did you have a day and night before the sun was created? What was this mess that started in scene 1? Where were the angels created? When was Satan created? When did he fall? What damage did that do? And we're tempted to just go, oh, let's talk about everything it doesn't say. You know what? God didn't care enough about that stuff to say it. He didn't write a science book. He wrote a history book. So God was trying to tell us what happened. And there must have been a reason why he told us what he told us. So let's step back a little. Let's just decide that all the questions that we have aren't important because they aren't answered. Let's not spend the rest of our lives laboring over all the things it doesn't say. Let's look at the story. So what I see in this story that's so incredibly helpful and introductory to the rest of the story of history, the rest of the Bible, is that in this story, God tells us something profound about himself. And he defines people, he defines us in a way that's incredibly important and interesting. First of all, about God. We find out that God, by his very nature, is incredibly powerful, right? He can just speak it and it happens. So that's interesting. We also find that in his nature is creativity. In order for creativity to happen, you have to see something before it actually takes place, and then you make it take place, you make it develop. Well, that's God. But you also find out that everything that he created, from space to outer space to animals and fish and birds and people, he had an intent. He created very intentionally. And not only that, it was kind of collaboratively. And you get sort of a hint here. For one thing, the name for God that's used here, Elohim, is in Hebrew a plural noun. Now, for us, our plural means more than one. But in Hebrew, they have singular, they have plural, which is two, or dual, which is two, and they have plural, which is three or more. Elohim is three or more. So why that name for God? There's something in here. But then you also see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. But as you read the rest of the Bible, you're going to discover, like in one of Jesus' disciples, John, when he wrote the story of Jesus, he started out the same way that this starts out, in the beginning. But he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he said, Jesus was here. So now when God is creating people, and he says, let us make man in our image, I get a clue of what he's talking about. There is one God, but at the same time, there's this complication to him. There is this fellowship within the Godhead, and he seems to desire to include us into fellowship with the Godhead. So we see that about God just right here in the first chapter. We start to get that clue. Let us, Elohim, plural, Spirit of God was there. So we learn all that about God. He loves making stuff. He likes to imagine and create things, and that's what he does. Now, this idea of an intentional God is thought of as being just completely nuts by most people in this world today, because an alternative theory to God, to Genesis, has come up. And that theory, and most of you were probably taught it in school, was the theory that everything just randomly developed through chance. And in most schools today, that's what's being taught. Not that there was a God who intentionally created the world, but what's being taught today is, no, just over billions of years, there were various mutations, and things went wrong, and some of them turned out to be lucky, and everything that you see is the product of chance and luck. Well, those are two alternative theories, and which one you believe is going to affect who you believe you are. Because God presents a story about a universe and a world and people and animals and everything else that are created intentionally by him. The rest of the world would so often believe that there was nothing intentional about creation at all. It was a chemical process. The world just got lucky to be the way it is. It doesn't really matter. And you are an accident. That's important for us to decide, which is it? Am I going to believe that there's no reason behind who we are? Or am I going to believe that a God had an intention in creating who we are? And that affects everything else about how you see yourself and how you see life. Right here in this story, we get the idea very clearly. God did this on purpose, and God brought us into existence on purpose.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com. Or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here's what's coming up tomorrow when our series on the stories of the Bible continues.
People we see in Genesis are not only the special object of God's affection, they're the thing that he made that he says is very good. They're also the thing that the whole rest of the Bible is centered around what people do, not about all the other stuff that was created. But man is put in a position of responsibility, the ability to respond, the ability to imagine and create is what makes us most like God.
More about the creation story on the next Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rall, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and the instrument I play with.